This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey man, it's Friday, so let's Friday this thing up. Mm-hmm. We're gonna talk sports. We got a lot of sports to talk about. You know, the pitchers and catchers have reported things are happening in West Palm Beach. We heard from the new offense coordinator of the Texans. All that is fine and good. The Rockets played a basketball game. You know, I guess we can dig into that as well. But what I want to ultimately talk about all show long on the Jim Allen, the Texas Hammer text line 713-572-4610. If you could eat, and if you had to only eat one singular thing for an extended period of time. What are we saying? A year? A year feels like a nice period. 1 year eating the same thing. No variations. The same thing. What would that food be? Text those in.
Okay, so just before we get into this, I know
this is how our boss wants us to start shows.
Of course it is. He tells us that.
Mm-hmm.
I like Seth's taco take. I think the logical...
That could be a wild euphemism, by the way.
Seth has got some taco takes.
Okay.
Listen. It's got to be chicken. It's got to be chicken.
Does it?
Because you can do so much with it.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's a versatile. But, like, I think that we're coming to a place where this it has to be one variety of chicken, so you kind of take that off the table.
Well, is that the rule? Like, it's only fried chicken or it's only baked chicken? Or no, if you used to say you got to eat one thing for a year, it's got to be chicken because you can do so many things with it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I agree with. I understand how you get there. I'm not sure I agree with your landing space.
Chicken
there.
Soup, fried chicken, grilled chicken. I sound like Forrest Gump's friend.
Shrimp, fried shrimp,
Bubba Gump. Yes, it's got to be chicken, right? Got to be.
Yeah, I feel like you're breaking the rules here. That we will have that conversation all show long. And from the 832, this is cute. Reggie, have you had Nigerian fried rice? Made it for my son. That stuff is Nino Brown and him. Yes, I have had Nigerian
it's
fried
in his
rice.
Blood.
A lot. I've had it
blood.
A lot. But yes, a lot of early answers coming in. Barbacoa and potato tacos.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said you could do so much more with tacos. Salmon. Oh, okay. I imagine you're a healthy eater.
Yeah.
I'm just envisioning you 713 as somebody who meal preps on the week and just like, hey, here are five slabs of salmon that I'm going to eat on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Oh,
yeah. Can I chime in just for like 20 seconds?
Of course. You know, you're always welcome.
With your chicken take. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're like chicken. You can do anything with chicken. You're on a desert island.
You get one.
They've got
plants.
You can't have chicken cacciatore and chicken parmesan.
Am I not allowed to have salt and pepper?
So you just want a chicken breast. Chicken breast.
You
get to pick one variety, Lopez.
Yeah. So only one kind of chicken.
That's right.
Yes. Well, then the answer's not chicken.
I'm glad that you have joined us in the conversation, John.
You know what it is? Corn.
That is not what I expected him to say.
Popcorn, cornbread,
you just
corn
changed
oil,
the thing.
Corn
You're
oil.
Doing the same thing with a different food.
You're acting like there's a kitchen on the island. There's
I would
not.
Make one.
You,
he said, I'm sorry about you and your desert island, but I'm built different. Okay. All right, let's talk about sports because apparently food is too controversial. Yeah. I didn't realize that was the case, but here we are. Yeah. All right, let's talk about Nick Cayley. He's not controversial, is he? The new offensive coordinator. Yeah, I guess not yet is a great thing.
Wait about
Seth
10
yells
minutes.
As he walks out of the building for his weekend to begin. But yes, Nick Cayley, new offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans, talked yesterday. You heard it live on these airways here in the loop. And then you heard it again on the drive when they played some cuts. Then you heard it again because this is the thing that's happening with the Texans. It's the thing that I think is the differentiator between what the altitude or the aptitude or whichever one of those it is. I don't remember words of this Texas team you will reach because your defense was phenomenal last year. Yes, there's still points of growth, tacklings, things of that nature. But offensively, that is a huge point of growth that if you can do that, you can be amongst the best teams in the league. Mm-hmm. So he is going to have a big handle on what this team does. And I think, by and large, a lot of positive reviews here, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think yourself, myself, Figgy, walked away from, we liked what we heard. We liked what the approach that it seems like he's going to have. We're going to dig into that a little bit more today.
Fundamentals.
Well, not just the fundamentals, but yes,
details.
But also, tight ends and the offensive line and
adapting, clean some stuff up
and adapting, to fit your personnel. I think by and large, we really liked what we heard. But I can't get over one thing.
Okay,
I really can't get over one thing. And
sure.
It's not, And I, you almost have to emphasize, we really liked what we heard, but there is one thing I can't get over. And
I'm very interested in this because I have not taken a look at what the thing is.
Let me ask you then, you and Figgy and our listeners, how come?
Give me a second. Let me get my notes out.
How come from the moment Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans joined forces, everything that's come out of their mouths has to do with being in alignment, being a collaborative, sort of brain trust, doing everything together,
one voice,
all the decisions they make.
One band, one sound.
They make together. Thank you.
You're welcome.
How come everything they've done has been collaborative and they've emphasized that? They've told us. We can go back into the archives and hear Nick Caserio talking about how he works so well with D'Amico Ryans, and we can hear D'Amico Ryans talking about how well he works with Nick Caserio, except when it came to hiring the offensive coordinator. Do you have this, Figgy?
You're stuck on this.
I can't let it go. I'll dig in a little more and ask you some questions. But go ahead.
I had to hire an OC.
He was asked. Nick Caserio wasn't there.
Correct.
Which, for whatever reason, that's fine. But
I mean,
maybe he would have been
It's his heavy season, right? He's doing all the accumulation of information on these various players in order to see who you ultimately either draft or also sign a free agency. Remember, there's still the pro scouting element of this.
But every word out of their mouth has been collaboration. We love each other. We talk to each other. Everything we do together, except when D'Amico Ryans was asked about this hire and, the John Carroll connection and the New England connection and the Nick Caserio connection, he said, I had to hire an OC.
Now, to be fair, I think the question was, did CJ have something
correct
to do with
this?
No,
it was, but clearly, they are not talking about this collaboration when it comes to the hire. Is it because I just can't let it go and it just kind of, I don't know if it doesn't irritate me because I like the hire. It's just weird. Are they trying to avoid the whole, here they go again, Patriot South. Three dudes at the top of the offensive food chain are from John Carroll. Obviously, there's a lot of New England connection. Nick Caserio knows these guys intimately, very, very well, and they don't even mention it. Are they just actively trying to say, hey, we don't want to go there again. We don't want to hear about the Patriots South offense and all this other stuff.
I mean, yes.
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 Why?
I mean, they listen. They listen to things. They are not completely insular and isolated as I think they would want us to believe. Yeah. And I mean, I say that just about any any of the people in sports. Like, oftentimes, like, oh, yeah, don't listen to that BS, right? Like, there's going to be ways that those informations filter in. And I'm not saying that as if it's inherently, like, a bad thing, if that means that they are self-conscious or whatever. But they hear things, right? They hear us, you know, bloviating and gas-bagging in ways. And they hear that the conversations about, oh, is D'Amico capable of, you know, firing his friend? And is he going to make the right hire and all these things? And I think that some of this is just... the ego, and not in a bad way, of like, I am the man who's in charge. Mm-hmm. I accept the responsibility. In another way of saying it, I want the smoke, right? The idea of, no. I am accountable in this instance, and I made this hire, right? I have the decision making. And yes, there's going to be other people that are impacted or involved in this, but I think that it's a level of D'Amico Ryan's trying to make it abundantly clear. Also, I'm not just over here doing the defense. I have purview over the entirety of this, including the offense, in that I select who is going to manage that. Mm-hmm.
Well, and again, what's wrong with saying, hey, Nick and I came together. You know, we talked about all the candidates. Nick has some experience with him. So he was a good sounding board. I knew him, you know, from whatever. His resume speaks for itself. It's not just New England. It's Sean McVay.
That's where he started. Right? Yeah, he started exactly. Like the multiple different, you know, there's not one specific scheme. There's a lot of these things that he is, you know, aware of and, you know, learned towards. Yeah, I think that he speaks to all of that. But in that instance, I think he is trying to do a very particular thing, which is move us off of the position that it seems like the larger media space has had, which is, oh, man, Nick Caserio has had a large hand in this. And I think Nick D'Amico is like, look. No. Mm-hmm. I was the decision maker in this aspect.
But again,
you are already assuming that Nick has had impact here. And so, yes.
So why avoid it?
I don't think he's avoiding it. I think he was trying to make it abundantly clear that at the very top of this, he made the ultimate decision.
But do you feel like Nick really had like a big hand in this, though?
Well, all I know is this, Figgy. If I'm hiring a guy that my general manager worked with for 10 years... I definitely want to talk to the general manager.
Yeah, but I think that goes without saying. Like, I think that is fairly evident that probably went without saying.
But we all refer somebody to somebody. That means
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. So. It's like, it's weird.
Is it? Like, yes. How much does this actually matter? Because I'm going to be honest. Like, for me, I was like, huh, okay. And I kept moving. Like, this is stuck with you. Why do you feel like this is something that matters?
Because, like they should be able to say, hey, Nick told me this, and this about him. I interviewed him. I hired him. We worked together, because they do that in every decision. They've said it in every decision.
And I think fact that you're able to say that, he probably looks up and he goes, yeah, you guys understand how this works. Mm-hmm. Why are you making this a big deal? Ultimately, hey, did CJ make an impact? I made the decision.
Well, why make a big deal to not say that?
I think
because they went out of their way.
I think we're hinging this on one response that he made, where he was going. He answered it succinctly and he kept pushing.
Yeah, I do think at the end of the day, it is D'Amico's decision. Mm-hmm. Saying I'm going with this person, because he could have went with somebody else. Mm-hmm. But maybe Nick Caserio say, "Hey, I know a guy named Nick Cayley. I work with him, and give him a shot. Let's see what he got." And maybe D'Amico was like, man, this dude is really good. Like, I'm going to hire this guy.
Or does Nick want to go out of his way to show that he really doesn't, you know, have that kind of influence?
All right, so let's assume that what you're maybe interested in, I don't know that you're, like, intimating specifically that, oh, Nick Caserio was
weird.
Puppet mastering.
It's just different.
No, I hear you, but, like, okay, let's take that to its logical conclusion then. Like, what is then the thing that you're concerned about on the other side of it? Like, is that there's not a level of accountability? Like, what would be the downside of the other side?
It doesn't have anything to account in terms of accountability. Really, where I was heading is the other question I wanted to ask you guys. Okay. Is you know, as much as his resume speaks for himself, he was impressive. It looks as if he's going to make the changes that we want to see offensively, whether it's offensive line or adapting your personnel, tight ends, whatever it may be. Very impressive. But is there anything that gives you pause about the hiring of Nick Cayley?
I mean, just the only things are inherent to any person in his position, which is you haven't actually done this. And a lot of this stuff sounds great in theory, right? We're going to have a game plan offense. We're going to be versatile, you know, whether it's, you know, duo and gap schemes or whether it's stretch and all those things. All those things sound great in theory. But then you come back around and you go, all right, now, can you actually apply this, especially having been a person who has not had this specific role of being in charge of it and calling the plays?
Yeah.
Is that going to work when the rubber hits the road? Mm-hmm. That's something that we'll just have to see. Like, we're just going to have to see that. But all indications are that he has his head on screwed on correctly. I think he says things that logically make sense to me as somebody who is a football observer. right? He seems like he is operating from the right places. Don't put your players in a position that they are not capable of succeeding in. Mm-hmm. He mentioned all the right names and talking about like what he learned from Bill and what he learned from Sean McVay and how his offensive line mm-hmm. philosophy is born out of learning from Dante Scarnecchia. Like I feel like he hit all of the nails on the head. Being person driven, right? Trying to pour into his players. While also, you know, making sure that the details are important. There was a lot of fantastic things that he hit. And ultimately, the only pause that I have here is, can you then make this happen? Which, again, is going to be there no matter who the offense coordinator is that you hire, especially in the way that they were going about it, looking for somebody who honestly did not have experience at this level.
What about no pre-existing relationship with C.J. Stroud?
That is there, mm-hmm. and that is fair. But, with the emphasis that he seemed to put coming in, and of course at this point I can only really take him at his word, with the emphasis that he seemed to put mm-hmm. on, hey man, working with your players and yeah. developing relationships, I imagine that is objective number one. And if it's not objective number one, it's very high up there. It's single digits, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is going to be early on in the process, is making sure that we have an understanding of what CJ does. And he even said things that kind of intimated that CJ is going to be involved yes. in the way that this goes, which is one of the things that we had a concern of. Did Bobby Slowick have that approach to mm-hmm. the way that the offense ran, that C.J. Stroud would be heard and felt appreciated within the, mm-hmm. the planning aspect of it? All of those things seem to be addressed in some ways, or at least, you know, have leaned towards those things. So, again, I'm very much all in this place where I'm hopeful, but also that's all that really is here to be had.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing particularly tangible. I understand that we're doing all of this conversation off of a press conference, and I know that there's someone under the sound of my voice that's like, all right, but so what? Mm-hmm. Right? All this stuff is words, and words don't really get things done on the football field. Fair, touche. Yeah. And I think that that's, for me, all I have here is to be like kind of hopeful from what I heard. I did not hear anything that outrightly made me skeptical. And so, yeah, I would love to see what happens when you start putting players onto the field, whether it's camp, if we start getting reports from camp on how things are going. And then especially once we get to training camp, and what does it start looking like? What does it start looking like in the preseason? But I don't know. I don't have a calendar in front of me. Is it anywhere near that?
No, it's not near that.
For the time being, this is what I'm working on, and everything that he said seems to fall in line with a lot of the smart people in football.
Let me ask y'all this. Do the New England Patriots connection kind of worry y'all a little bit?
No. I think that that's kind of what you
Again, it doesn't worry me per se. They were successful now. They had a different head coach, and they had a hell of a all-time quarterback. I think what it is, it's just like I would embrace it. Like, hey, we were this in New England. This was my guy. I knew him. And I guess that's what I'm getting at. It's like
he got some of the, oh, you mean like from the D'Amico level
of
this?
Yeah, the D'Amico and Casario thing. I just feel like, look, I think it's a good hire. Yes or no, it's a good hire. And we will find out. But I think it's a good hire. I was like, why? Yeah. That's kind of strange.
The New England part really don't worry me as much.
Right.
It's a little bit last on the list. I think I'm more worried about him being this being another first-time sure. play caller.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of curious. I don't know what type of offense he is.
Yeah, and that's mm-hmm. another. That is a great point to bring up, Figgy. Is like, hey, the idea of, yeah, we'll find out. It's a game plan offense, as someone on the text line mentioned. The idea of, okay, well, that's all good. Possibilities are endless. But what is the actual tangible going to look like? We don't have a good idea of that. And I think that it's fair to have some concerns there. I want to circle back, Figgy, because it seems like you're asking something that I did not get to, which is, you know, all right, Bill Belichick, great head coach, one of the greatest of all times. All the dudes that have come out from after that have been, let's be honest, failures in that regard. Like, outside of, Brian Flores has been good.
No, the most successful one was Bill O'Brien. Think about that.
Yeah. I think the thing that makes that not an issue for me is that when he was talking about that, specifically, I'll lean on that one question where he's asked about, what did you learn from these kind of two major mm-hmm. figures in your history? And he talks about with Bill Belichick, learned about that attention to detail and that focus on, no detail being too mm-hmm. too small to focus on. But then the other side of that was the McVay, where he's talking about the human element, the people element. And I think that that's one of the things that with all of the people in the Belichick tree that it felt like they didn't get right. Right. Mm-hmm. Brian Flores. What was the thing that Tua Tagovailoa and some of those Miami players started, you know, talking about is just, you know, some of the ways in which he alienated people. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, in fact, on a podcast was mm-hmm. talking about it, and with the coaches that he had, you know, he kind of alienated people and then grated on folks, made it tough. Matt Patricia getting in there talking down to these players like he had been somewhere, and those players looked at him like, what have you done? Not what has Bill done, what have you done? And it feels like it's the human element that sometimes gets some of those guys out of that Belichick tree that want to do it the Belichick, the Patriot way, where they're like, no, we're going to be a hard ass in all these spaces and you're just going to get along. It seems like he has a little bit better of the people element because of his time with the Rams. So I think that's the part that gives me a little bit of solace on that end, where he's not going to end up in that New England side. I think that's one of the things that you were asking there, Figgy. Let's see. Somebody said that they want the Gordon Ramsay burgers is what they would go with if they were on an island and that's all that they had. Somebody said jollof rice as a half. They had a half Igbo son, right? Yes. Shout out to all my Nigerians. Somebody said Lopez's choice would be water so he can make spaghetti, boiled eggs. Yeah, he keeps trying to cheat the question. He keeps trying to cheat the question that we had at hand, which Seth Payne, of course, brought to us on this Friday, which is if you only had to eat one thing for a 1 year period, what would it be? And I don't know. I'm gonna eat this breakfast taco and give it a feel if that is my answer. But yeah, we're just getting going on a Friday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. And coming up next, boy, did the Rockets mail it in yesterday. They hit the All-Star break. This little slump, does it feel like this is something that will be cured by an All-Star break, or is this a cause for concern? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next.
Peggy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Atatula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio
610. Happy Friday. Happy Valentine's Day to you. Right here in the loop on Sports Radio. Oh my goodness. Uh-oh. He is so cooked. He is so cooked.
No, I knew.
All right.
I just gotta get you all good?
He's not.
I'm working on it.
No, he's not.
Hey. I'm working on it.
Hey, babe, let's go to the fishing show.
Hey.
Why are you saying that like that's not been your whole plan?
That's been your whole plan from the beginning. Didn't you did it last year.
I did. Let's run it back.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, you could do better.
Let's run it back.
Oh, man. All right. Let's dig into this Houston Rockets game. The Rockets played last night against the Golden State Warriors, and they didn't win. Let's be honest; they didn't win. It was not the inspired effort that you were hoping to put them into the All-Star break. They are finally in that All-Star break where they're hoping on the other side of it they'll be able to recoup some of their talent. They're hoping that maybe you can get Fred VanVleet back, maybe you can get Jabari Smith Jr. back, and get back to playing better basketball. But they had a little stretch run here, where they've hit a pretty mighty lull, Lopez.
That's to say the least.
And so I kind of want to, like, I'm thinking about it because, again, I was like, this team looks like a team that absolutely needs the All-Star break. I mean, maybe last game more than ever. Like, what the part of the team where you talk about being energy and being, effort, they had to give way, and Ime had to bench those guys and go to the likes of Nate Williams. Shout out to that young man who had quite the game in order to try and claw their way back into this game. Unfortunately, they fall 105-98, but the likes of Nate Williams playing 18 minutes and putting up 11. Jock Landale had a whole bunch of opportunities. In fact, I don't think that he missed buckets until the very, very end of this game when the Warriors were able to extend it back out. Jayshon Tate got more minutes than Jalen Green in this game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was the type of game that it was. And with this continued kind of lull and lack of kind of energy and intensity that you're getting from the top line of what you're doing here, is this something that is just going to repair itself with some R&R over the All-Star break?
Yeah, I think it's going to help. But before we get to that, I got to tell you the two things. Number one, man, I love Ime Udoka. I love that dude.
You don't sugarcoat nothing.
I
tell
just
you that.
Love that dude. And number two, I realized last night, you know, low key, as people like to say, one of my favorite things in sports, like one of the most innocuous, small favorite things in sports that I see very rarely now, used to be more often, is when they bench everybody. It's like the coach just says, y'all all come out.
Come sit by me.
Yeah, all y'all.
Come sit by me.
All y'all come over here and get on the bench.
Oh, if y'all don't want to play, y'all don't have to play.
Exactly. Like, low-key, that's one of my favorite things in basketball. Like, all y'all. You see that guy over there that hadn't played but 1 minute in the last seven games? He's finishing this game.
Yeah, you might be better than him, but he's playing harder. So who's going to play?
What makes it even better is when they make a comeback.
Yes.
And so now you got like somebody like a Steph Curry on the bench. Yes. And your team making a run.
Yeah.
And you just like, damn, you ain't going to put them back in?
No.
No.
Well, let's listen to Ime Udoka, how he explained it.
First of all, you have to play with a certain amount of aggression and physicality and effort, or you don't give yourself a chance. And that's what we did. And I would say the first 35, 40, whatever games of the year, we did that and gave ourselves a chance every night. And when we don't do that, you see what the results are lately. And so that alone takes care of some things, but a lot of the same mistakes on both ends of the ball. Lack of communication on defense, playing in a crowd, or selfishness on offense. And whether it's intentional or unintentional, it's wrong. You got three guys in the paint on you. You got to find your open teammates, and that's something we've been harping, and you know, we see the results when we do it the right way, and that's what the bench unit just came in and did, move the ball, didn't play in the crowd, got wide open looks, and make or miss them.
And then he was asked, did you have any consideration of bringing the starters back in? His answer? No. Not at all.
Straight like that. Straight no. like that. No, that, that. And that is the beauty of Ime Udoka, is that he takes no bleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely what's necessary, because I found myself, I was just talking with the fellas that came up, Chris and Lacey, and I was like, man, I was yelling at my TV screen, not last night, but I think at one point, it might have been the night prior, rather, where I was just like, yo, why are you going to in a one-on-three? Like, why are you driving in transition one versus three?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type of stuff that Ime is talking about there. Like, you know, doing the simple things and following the game plan, just staying on task that he absolutely needs these guys to get to. So, like, why did this lull happen in the way that it did?
That's the serious part of this, you know, because...
Because I think that's how we figure out if this is something that's just kind of a feature of what this team is right now, or if this is just, hey, we need to get some...
Or if it's maybe a deeper-seated problem.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys this. Is this lull that the Rockets hit, is it mostly young guys that hit the wall? Injuries? Sean mentioned this about a week ago, and I was like, that's kind of interesting, and I think it's maybe a little more interesting now. And I put it in quotation marks, reading press clippings. In other words, they're thinking that they're all that.
They got high. Yeah,
they're thinking that they're all that, and they're really not. They need more. Or do they still need something, like a true late game, true star?
All right, so if I had to power rank those four things that you put
hitting up there, the wall, injuries, reading press clippings, or not possessing a true star.
All right, I think that your injuries are going to come in a big way here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that ties in with hitting the wall. I think that those two things are going to be show up very huge. Like, you had a team where it felt like every part of it did something and added to the whole.
Mm-hmm.
And you took away some parts in that. Jabari Smith Jr. definitely gave you a lot help rebounding, and then obviously spacing and whatever, just like giving you the kind of size. And you saw that in certain games, like especially in the Mavericks game when they got out there with two bigs. And it was like, oh, we don't have a direct counter for that in what we naturally do, so we're going to have to break what we naturally do and bring in Steven Adams to play alongside Alperen Şengün. I think that that happens with the dudes that you don't have available, plus Fred VanVleet. When you talk about staying focused on what the details are, right, making sure that you're moving the basketball and not letting the ball stick, Fred is huge in that regard. So, okay, you have those guys.
Yeah.
Hitting the wall is huge, though, because what Ime said there in that clip that you played, that's the identity of this team.
Mm-hmm.
It's just being a team that blitzes you, that gets rebounds off of effort and energy, that goes in transition to maybe not have as many half-court offensive sets because they're just going to get easy buckets in transition. That's all born out of energy, and that's the energetic guys, the spark plugs, if you will, of this team are dudes that are playing now 40 and 35 minutes, and you're seeing them slow down. I didn't think I would ever see Amen Thompson get blown by, and I've seen that more in the last couple of weeks than I could have imagined. In that way. So I think that those are the big things. And then I'd probably go to like, hey, man, you don't have a star to just kind of cover up, paper over all these holes that you typically have to go to.
Yeah, if I was to rank them, I would probably rank not having a true star at number one. I think that's the first thing. The second thing, I would put hitting the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I think because I know Fred been out and Şengün been in and out too, but you still got Jalen Green, who just got paid and is, I thought, was going to take that next step to be that person that could kind of, you know, carry the team a little bit. Then reading the press clippings, I don't think they like eating the cheese or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But
rat poison.
I just think they don't have that star that could close a game.
I think, like, I'm with you. I think because
y'all been trying to make this trade.
No, and you can't right now.
Y'all been trying to get that star now.
I was on the other side for a while when they were on that good streak. I was like, you know what? Let's just develop and see what these guys can do. But now, and here's why: even when VanVleet comes back and Jabari comes back, they're not going to help you in late game situations as much. I mean, VanVleet more, but I mean, Jabari's going to help you with defense, rebounding, physicality. VanVleet can make a shot. He's a smaller guy. Is he the guy that you really want to get the ball at the end? And so maybe it's like, yes, they really need a star. You just can't get one right now.
Well, but I think that's where I come back to the process. Sorry to use a word that can be triggering to dear listeners. But I think that it's when you get into clutch situations and you have the likes of Jalen Green not going through the process and just kind of stagnating into, hey, we're going to offense, or we're just going to, ISO.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to beat you one-on-one. You can do that a little bit, but you're not the level of superstar in this league that can do that relatively consistently and get results off of that. That's why you have to continue to go through the process and swing the ball and find the open man and let
you can win games like that.
And they had won games like that. And that's why I'm like, I feel like, especially where this team is as a whole, that one is less important on the scale of this lull. We've seen the data in this season that says that this lull is not because they don't have a star. They had better games without that star as well. Like on a longer scale, that's something that
win the big game.
Yeah. Right. We all know that eventually that's where they're headed to, finding that one.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like once the season ends, what do you do? Do you run this back or do you feel like you need to have that star that could close a game if needed?
500 shots a day, man.
Yeah, but
500 shots a day.
That's where that develops.
That could happen. That'd be great.
That big superstar will paper over some things, but I think that will actually limit the particular development of all these guys that we're talking about. If they want to be impact players, they also have to know that, hey, what is important is making sure that you stay the process and that you stay on task all the way through till triple zeros. And I think that's where they have faltered here, whether it's just because they're tired or it's because like the fatigue mentally is happening. But these are the growing pains. These are the things that are necessary for this Rockets team to find.
Now, if Amen can step up and be that person, let's say next year or something, be that person where the ball got to be in his hand at the last second, then I'm down with that.
That's kind of where I'm going.
I just don't know right now. Mm-hmm. I think right now in this moment, I don't know if you have that person.
No, I mean, I don't even say that I don't know. I think right now you absolutely do not have that person, because those are the people that step up in these moments where everybody else is gassed and are like, well, I can get this done, and you have not had that happen. All right. They're on the All-Star break, thankfully, though. They'll get some rest, and there is optimism that Fred VanVleet and Jabari Smith Jr. could possibly be returning for this team as soon as next Friday, like a week from today when they get back into action. And let me make sure that against the Minnesota Timberwolves, that's right. And that's going to be a nationally televised game. So you start with a flourish on what is the proverbial second half of the season or the stretch run towards the end. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Question of the day, not the one that we've been talking about all the way around, but what is something that you've said that will live in infamy? Carl Ravitch is getting blown up about his. You tell us yours. 713-572-4610, and we'll do that next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Not gonna lie, Lopez, I think our question of the day has been taken over in some ways by Seth's question. But I'm still trying to get this off.
I just want to hear the audio because it's awesome. An actual NCAA head coach said this in a press conference.
Because Carl Ravitch, particularly before, was talking about the idea that the SEC is so good, man. Mm-hmm. It's so balanced. They you know.
But are they?
They have a 500 record against each other in conference games. Yeah, no, of course it is. But yes, like, what is something that you've said that will live in infamy, like Carl Ravitch? What audio you have here?
This is Mark Pope.
This is Mark Pope.
Mark Pope was actually asked about, and kudos to the, clearly the reporter had a great relationship with Mark Pope, the Kentucky head coach, because he could ask this question. Go ahead, Figgy.
Coach, everybody talks about the SEC being the best conference in college basketball, but the conference is just 500 since conference play started. What do you make of that?
I think it's been a really disappointing start to conference play. I feel like we should, I feel like we're not living up to the expectations, just being at 500 as a conference. And I just, I'm kind of looking around at the other programs in the league, but like, guys, we got to pick this up. This is embarrassing. And so we'll find a way. I believe in this league. I think we definitely have an upside. And we're going to work really hard to get there.
Man, Ravitch is just getting cooked. If you don't know, if you weren't listening yesterday, we played his audio basically saying, yeah, they're good.
That's right.
Great non-conference record. But you know what? In conference play, they're only 82-82.
Yeah, that's right.
Do the math, boys and girls. Yeah, do the math.
I do appreciate that Mark Pope had an opportunity to laugh about it. Although, to be fair, If I was him, I would want to laugh about it there instead of talking about how I'm 6-5 in conference.
Well,
myself.
This is true.
Like, I imagine that's absolutely where I would want to be if I was him. But yeah, okay. So what is something that maybe got you cooked in a similar way?
Something
then?
You said. Don't be bashful. Come on. We put our egos aside on this show, including our listeners. Something you have said that is going to live in infamy. One immediately came to mind for me. I was actually with Mark Vandermeer draft night on Texans radio, 2011, Houston Texans draft. I wish I could find the audio. I looked and I couldn't find it. Houston Texans drafted some kid out of Wisconsin, and I was familiar with his work. Obviously not as intimately as I thought I was, because I said on the air as they drafted and they threw it to me after the draft pick of one J.J. Watt, I said, I think he's going to be really good against the run. I'm just not sure how many sacks he can come up with.
I was wondering, I was like, look, there's a lot of places that you could have gone wrong with J.J. Watt.
I don't know about the sacks with this guy.
Like, there's a lot of things that now we, with the benefit of hindsight, could have looked at and be like, yeah, there's a lot of places where on the front end you could have probably been wrong. It is hilarious that the man who had 114.5, 114.5 sacks.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Has he really proven it yet?
That is hilarious. That is, wow. No, that's a good one. Yeah, that one's tough. That one is very tough to live down.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Figgy?
Yeah, I got a couple of them, man. I got a couple. Now, to be fair, I didn't really get cooked because nobody probably paid attention to it.
And those are the best instances because you know, yeah. And you're just like, hey, keep your head down.
Yeah,
keep
yeah,
your head
but,
down.
But one of them was when Brock Osweiler got traded with a second-round pick to the Browns.
No.
And I'm like, you know what? I think Brock gonna have a better career at Cleveland than he did with Houston.
Yeah,
that brother ain't last preseason.
And to be fair for you, that take is tough because it didn't feel like you were saying a lot. It's not like he had a great career here. He was just like, all right, I feel like he can be a little bit better. Absolutely,
he didn't even make it to the regular season as a Cleveland Brown. I'm like, damn, he was that bad. And then the other one was right when LeBron left the second time.
Yeah.
And it's a guy by the name of Jetty Osman.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes, I love Jetty.
And so I'm like, okay, yeah, I think he's gonna be the one to step in once LeBron leaves.
He's the next LeBron.
Well, I ain't saying all that, but I'm like, you know what? We in good hands. We got this kid, man.
Yeah,
he's pretty good. I think he got some promise. Nah, man. Nah, it wasn't it.
That wasn't it.
The only one that I can think of, and maybe I have to put some money in the hat here, it was when I was still in Dallas, thinking about a player that had been playing in division here, so you'll know him, Alan Hearns, right? Mm-hmm. He had been playing with the Jaguars, and I remember watching him in the Jaguars, him and a few other cats, where I was like, yo, Alan Hearns is like, he could be a number one wide receiver. And the Cowboys had brought him in to be like, and they were like, oh, wide receiver by committee. I was like, nah, y'all don't understand. Alan Hearns is going to be wide receiver one.
He's the man.
He's going to be that guy. He was not. In fact, he had a bad year that season, if I remember correctly. Talk less of being the number one guy, and I was like, oh. Because that was one of those things where I was like, I have insider knowledge, right? I watched the Texans, and I watched the AFC South. Like, I know Alan Hearns has the possibility of being really good. No, he did not. He did not do that.
Y'all remember when AD went to the Lakers?
Yeah, big deal. Okay.
That was what Sean said.
So, Sean, we was breaking the news that Anthony Davis was getting traded to the Lakers. And Sean said,
yeah, big deal. Okay.
Even in that moment, he was wild for that.
Exactly. No,
that was in that moment.
In that moment, he was wild. Like, now, I think now, even more so. Like, actually, has that gotten...
They won the championship.
They won a championship. I was like, I don't know if that's gotten any better for him. But even in that moment, I was like, yeah, no.
In that moment, just imagine, Anthony Davis is going... is teaming up with LeBron.
And I thought, Lakers. You know how sometimes you say something and I remember saying, oh man, you know, like this is going to be
and
huge.
And mind you, this is when the Rockets was still good, too, with James Harden.
Yeah.
You're like, man, Lakers about to get Anthony Davis.
Yes.
Like, you don't matter.
Yeah, big deal, okay.
And Rockets in five.
Part of it is a compliment to Sean because I respect him so much. I'm like, did I miss something?
Right.
Because he's really good. Yeah. He's really good.
All right, to be fair, we were all talking about sports. I feel like the non-sports ones might be getting us because I think very early on, we don't have to go that far back for me, when I told people that I had my house at 77 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That one, I'm probably not living that one down.
He's getting cooked twice.
Yes. Twice baked potato over here. And from the 832, Figgy, that's not as bad as you saying you put your feet in a bag of onions.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's all on my wife, man. Mm-hmm. I'm blaming her.
Just blame her?
Yeah.
On Valentine's Day, no less? Mm-hmm. Valentine?
Nah, she deserved that, bro. I told the doctor that one time. And the doctor shook her head so fast, like, what?
What are you doing?
Oh, when you told the doctor?
I told her everything I was doing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I even put some onions in the bag and put my feet in them. And she was like, what?
You did what?
Yeah, my wife. I'm blaming her for that.
That's hilarious. So now you have firm evidence if she ever tries to pull some nonsense like that again. Remember that time when the doctor said that you should absolutely not do that nonsense?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's funny. All right. So, yeah, shout out to Carl Ravitch and the nonsense that he pulled. I guess the secondary question of the day that we will be taking all day long, if you were stuck on an island and you had to eat one singular thing, or maybe not the island part, mm-hmm. but if you had to eat one thing, the same meal every day and every time that you eat for a year, what would that be? Because some people got, like, really specific. Somebody said a Popeye's number two.
All right.
Do crawfish count?
Yeah, crawfish counts.
I could eat crawfish
every day for a year.
Really?
I could. Yeah.
You peeling crawfish?
Yes.
Like, not even just like an etouffee with crawfish. Like, nah, actually.
Actual crawfish.
God yeah, bless you.
I could do that.
Hey, shout out to the 281 pancakes. Breakfast food is a little.
That's actually not bad. That's actually not bad.
I get sick of pancakes.
Yeah.
I'd get sick of pancakes. Like, I don't know that there's a breakfast food that I could do besides like a breakfast taco, which feels kind of more malleable than Sean, a breakfast taco.
Sean, just take the L, man. Just take the L, oh, Sean.
What are you saying? He right?
He just texted, bleep that. One phony COVID title, and other than that, total Laker irrelevance during the AD era. I stand by my take. Come at me. Like, look, we're all taking the L here, Sean. We're all taking the L.
Yeah.
JJ Watt, I don't know how many sacks he's going to get.
Yeah, that's a big one, man.
That was a compliment, man, because everybody else booed him.
Yeah,
I guess that's fair. And you've been doing this a long time. I imagine when you talk for 35 years, eventually there's gonna be some things that pop up from the 281. They said they thought Tommy Tuberville would have taken Texas Tech to the next level when he took over after Leach was fired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, that's
a tough one.
Yeah,
right
that
there.
that one doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Where I thought Major Applewhite was gonna cook. Houston.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, it is time. And it was not.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, too.
It was not time. Mm-hmm. It was not time. All right. Some ground turkey rice. Okay. Like, that's real simple. Okay. Venison. Somebody said spaghetti. Oh, spaghetti might be close to the answer because there was a point in time where I was doing spaghetti very, very frequently. All right. Keep those coming in. 713-572-4610. That's the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. But coming up next, we jump into hour two of this Friday edition of In the Loop. And let's get into around the NFL where, hey, seems like Red Zone might have a different person at the helm of it. I'll tell you what I mean next.